What's up, guys, and welcome back to the JP and Trav Show live on OU Insider. As always, it's your host with the most, Jalen Posey, better known as JP, to Sooner Nation. And all the way to my right, I have my esteemed brother, co-host, and friend, Travis J. Davidson. Travis, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great. Fresh off a major men's national championship, man. Life is good, right? Awesome and improbable run. They had a fantastic fantastic party last night. I got to watch with Joe Washington and Mark Clayton. I was there smoking cigars with them atop the Summit Club after the OU Club of Tulsa golf tournament. Never thought I'd be watching a national championship with Joe Washington and Mark Clayton. That feels really random, but hey, you love it the way things work out, right? So, you know, everything's good. We're actually scheduled to go present home ownership value to the basketball teams next month. So got that locked down to go up to Norman and do that and help with that and help with education and whatnot. So anyways, and I'm excited, JP, about our guest. We've been trying to get him on for a minute. He lives in our comment section, you know, hyping up the other recruits and whatnot. We've been waiting on him. So Jalen, why don't you introduce and welcome our guest?
Yeah, you guys know him well. He's been committed to the Sooners for a while now. Four-star quarterback out of Alabama, the number one quarterback in Alabama, and that's Jameson Roberts. Jameson, how you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And it's, like I said, you've kind of been in the comments, you know, hyping up other recruits we've had on, man. And that's kind of the quarterback's job, right? Is, hey, man, these are all my guys, everything like that. But I want to kind of start at the beginning, right? You know, we've got a lot of things to get to, but the beginning seems to be the best place to start. So let's talk about your recruitment journey. Okay. Like, how did things get started, right? You know, first offers, things like that. You know, you see yourself ranked for the first time, things like that. Mm-hmm. Walk me through your recruitment journey and how you ended up specifically at Oklahoma.
So I was kind of a late bloomer. Well, not really, but kind of. So I was starting at my ninth grade year. I sat behind, you know, another four-star quarterback that ended up going to Texas, KJ Lacy. You know, I sat behind him and I tried to soak up everything I could from him just to make me a better player, because, you know, that's just the right thing to do. I kept my head down and I kept on working. And my sophomore year, he got hurt in one of our region games, a big, big region matchup, to where it's like our rival. They're not really our rival no more. We done beat them 6 years straight. But, you know, he got hurt and I had to come in. And that was my first time getting real varsity action in front of a big crowd. And I feel like I handled it pretty good. We ended up winning that game, and I ended up playing two more region games, and that helped us get into the playoffs and get a good seed. Fast forward to my junior year, my offseason, I'm working really hard, just, you know, trying to get better at my craft and get better at what I have to do to help my team succeed. And spring comes, I'm in baseball. It's my last year playing baseball. My sophomore year, I was starting left field on the varsity baseball team. Bat at fourth. I didn't hit any homers, but, you know, the fence got me a couple times. So I was batting fourth, and then my head coach, Coach Kelly, he called me down to the football field because we practiced during second block of school, and then we have an after-school practice. He called me during second block practice and he asked me to throw a couple routes to the receivers. And I threw out there, and Troy was out there, Troy University. And then I went back into, like, the school, and he texted me. He was like, Troy wanted to offer you, but, you know, you had to get back to class. So, you know, that was really exciting. I ended up posting it later that day. And then after that, I ended up getting, like, six more, like, App State, Charlotte, UNA. That's the only ones I can remember. Oh, Georgia Southern as well. But then they just started rolling in, and then it kind of went silent for a little bit going into the season. My junior season, it really didn't start off as good as I wanted it to be. You know, I held myself to a high standard, and I wasn't playing at the standard I wanted to be playing at. But the third game came around. We had two away games at first, and then the third game was our first home game. And from that moment on, I think I had, like, five touchdowns that game and threw for, like, 250 and ran for another 100. And I'm getting like player of the week for like every news station in the whole town. It was great. And then from that moment on, I just took off. I started getting offers from like Auburn, West Virginia, Baylor, then Oklahoma came around. This is a crazy story. So playoffs come around. We're 10-0 my junior year. We're in the, what round was that? It's the third round of the playoffs. We have an away game at Pike Road, which is like, if you're familiar with Alabama, Pike Road is like Montgomery area, but like you got to go towards Auburn. You got to like go through Montgomery, then go towards Auburn. So we're in Pike Road. I have an insane game. I go off for like 6 touchdowns, like 4 passing, 2 rushing. We blow that team out, right? And I know I have a flight to Oklahoma the next morning. So we drive back all the way to Mobile, me and my father. Like, I love him to death for this because he's done this multiple times with me. We drove back to Mobile, hopped on a flight, landed in Atlanta to Oklahoma, made it on the field as the Boomer or the you know what I'm trying to say. I can't think.
The schooner?
Yeah, the schooner was rolling out. We were on the field when it happened. They had to get us up to the recruit section. We watched the game. We were tired, and then like they let us go home. Then Sunday comes around. They give me a tour of the facilities, and then I'm sitting in Jim Nagy's office just talking to him. And then Coach Buck and Coach Kuz comes around the corner and just said, like, we wanted to do this yesterday, but we want to offer you a scholarship to the University of Oklahoma. And I told my dad on the ride home, like going to the airport, I'm like, I don't feel real right now. Like, I don't feel like that just actually happened. Like, that feels like a dream. Like, QBU just offered me. So it was really cool. And then from there, I just knew that's the place I wanted to be honest. So, yeah.
Wow. I loved hearing QBU come out of that, your mouth right there. That's true, awesome. Mm-hmm. It is true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, that's an awesome story, man. And as I just put up on the comments, you know, as you're seeing more and more people come in, one of the things they love about you is how you hype up other recruits, how you've been so active, right, as we'd like to see it from a leader and a quarterback in the class. And, you know, starting really tomorrow, we have a guy that's going to potentially, you know, maybe join the fold. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about your relationship with Bodie Sparrow, man. Like, how did that begin?
Well, me and Bodie, we've been going back and forth, like just texting on Instagram and things of that nature for a long time now. I feel like every recruit that we have committed, like we have a group chat on Instagram and Snapchat, and we all like send graphics of when people are about to make a decision on OU or not. And we'll just like go flood their comment section. Like, we're basically showing them the same love OU showed us and just like reciprocating it back to them. And that's what I've been doing with Bodie. I've been trying to stay consistent, just, you know, texting him, asking him how summer's going, how his visit's going. Like you'll even see me in some of his comments. I'm like, the Oregon visit, I was like, the uniform's fresh, but they not better than ours. Like, come on. So, yeah, like, just, like, tiny stuff like that, just trying to push him, get him along, and, yeah, so it's been really good.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, that kind of stuff, to not come across as like, man, everybody else sucks, and, you mm-hmm. know, blah, blah. It's just, it's not realistic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of good programs out there. We obviously on this channel believe Oklahoma's the best, especially for QBs, as you said, QBU. You guys obviously building something special, top 5 class in the country, coming off of a playoff. Jim Nagy just got extended another 4 years, which is great because I think a lot of people really thought that Jim Nagy might be a guy that comes to college as a GM and, you know, is here 2 or 3 years and then goes off to the NFL, right? Well, him signing a 4-year extension, it just underscores the foundation that OU football has right now between him and Venables and that whole Taylor Redd and Arbuckle and Kuz and all. Like, it's just such a great foundation. And that's why you can add, you know, guys like Jason Witten and Dean McCullough, right? And all these guys, like, it's just because the foundation is so good. But I do want to chat a little bit. Obviously, Jim Nagy has, you know, a big time reputation in the state of Alabama and around Mobile, right? Because the draft starts in Mobile, right?
Yeah,
so Senior Bowl stuff. Describe to me your relationship with Jim Nagy specifically, and how maybe his proximity to you while he was at the Senior Bowl had any effect on him scouting you, or what are those conversations been like between you and him about that area, and about really him recruiting that state as a whole?
Oh, well, you know, if I have to talk about Jim, I have to talk about my QB trainer as well. So the guy I work with in Mobile, his name's David Morris, and him and Jim are, like, really good friends. They're tight. And I don't know, this must be crazy the way that happened, but one day I just got in contact with Jim from David. He's like, here's the GM's number to Oklahoma. Text him, introduce yourself, all those things. And I did. And me and Jim text back and forth, and he got me to a game, which was the Mizzou game. He got me in contact with Kuz and Buck and all those guys. And then I just started connecting with all of them as well. But me and Jim, we have a really good relationship. You know, Bama Sooners, we're trying to get that train rolling, me and Jalen, right now. He's really, I feel like he's doing a great job in recruiting the state of Alabama and bringing a lot of talent from Alabama, which I feel like is like an overlooked state in the Southeast, because, you know, you have Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, all those schools up, not all those schools, all those states over there. And like, it just, I feel like we get overshadowed, but we have a lot of talent in the state of Alabama. And I feel like he's doing a good job in scouting that talent and getting on them early and then trying to get them to Oklahoma. And I feel like his influence in the Senior Bowl and Mobile and all that stuff, it's helped me and Jalen feel so much more comfortable with our decision in choosing Oklahoma.
Speaking of relationships, man, I know we brought up Bodie. Trav just brought up Jim Nagy. We had another guy on the show just a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it, but Trav did a great job interviewing one great in Howell. And we just talked about, you know, the Sooners winning a national championship. We got to see Graydon go up there. You know, he said on the show that he was going to do it if they made it, you know, to the game, and they did, and he followed through. And so just take us through your relationship with Graydon a little bit. And I know you talked about some similarities you guys have. What do you see in him, man, and how did that relationship just come to fruition?
Well, me and Graydon, ever since that Future Freaks day in March when I committed and he committed as well, we've been locked ever since then. He's a really good guy to talk to, really level-headed, down-to-earth type of guy. You can joke with him. You can talk about anything with Graydon. He's a really cool guy. On our OV, he was – yeah, it was fun. That's all I have to say. But Graydon, he's a really good guy. He comes from a really good family. I feel like me and him have the same family structure. We have the same beliefs, same values. And that goes for everybody in our class. Like, we have the same beliefs. We want to achieve one goal. We have one thing in mind. And I heard Greg's a pretty good quarterback. So, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about trick plays. We need to get those installed when we get to Oklahoma and things of that nature. But, you know, he'll be playing wide receiver when he gets to Oklahoma. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how that's going to work out. I know he's going to do well. I actually watched some of his tape the other week, and that man's shifty. So that's what I love to see. He can move a little bit. So, yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, the chat wants you to bring in Keoni Snipes.
I can.
There you go. Get some peer recruiting. Some peer recruiting. So make sure he gets to Oklahoma.
Yes, sir. I'm trying my hardest. Every single day I'm in his ear. Boomer. Boomer.
Good.
You know, me and him got a locker right next to each other. I wear number 10. He wears number 11. Mm-hmm. We share Oklahoma gear. He has an Oklahoma backpack. He wears to school every day. Like, I'm telling you, like, it's coming. Trust.
All right. Bet. We're counting on you. We're counting
all
on
right.
you. So you brought up name a couple times, but I want you to dive a little deeper on your relationship with, obviously, Kuz and Arbuckle, right? Arbuckle, a young guy, one of the youngest OCs in the country, and it's at an SEC blue blood, fresh off a playoff appearance, you know, a QBU, as you described it. You know, what's your relationship like with him, and how has it grown since you first met him on that visit?
You know, obviously, when you first meet somebody, it's kind of like you're trying to get a feel for him. But it really wasn't like that with Coach Arbuckle. You know, he was really open about everything, open about how he felt about me, about my play, about my film, and all those things. And when I committed, him and Coach Kuz and just everybody on the whole staff made it a point, especially on our OV, to get us around their family and just like pull the curtains back and show us the real them. And that was the greatest thing they could have ever did. I feel so comfortable with those coaches now. I feel like I can talk to them about what I have done at practice. I feel like I can go back and watch film with them if they have the time. You know, Coach Arbuck is kind of busy. He got to deal with everybody. But when I get the chance, I hit him up. I text him every now and then. He's just a great guy. He's a young OC. He's done great things at Washington State and Western Kentucky. And he's going to do great things at Oklahoma. I trust you.
This mic, man, it's the worst.
he mutes himself a lot because he moves it and the button's right back there. So that's how you know it's a live show. It's not a live show until somebody mutes themselves.
That's absolutely true. Man, last relationship we really wanted to ask you about is a guy that shares my name. Now, again, depending on who you talk to, I feel like the correct spelling of Jalen is the way you spell my name. With no why, because that's the original, right? Jalen Rose.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that out there. But
crispy hairline.
I digress. Correct. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your relationship with Jalen Scott, man. I know you mentioned him earlier, obviously. But dive into that a little bit, bro.
You know, me and Jalen, we go way back. I vividly remember. So we all used to play against each other in park ball. All the guys from Mobile that are getting highly recruited right now, we all used to play against each other in park ball. Mm-hmm. And I remember my team, we won. So like our championship is called the Youth Bowl, right? And we won that. And then the next year, Jalen ends up on my team. So me and him ended up sharing the backfield for a little bit because I played running back in the day. Me and him ended up sharing the backfield for a little bit. And that was pretty fun. And I just got to know him from right then and there. And then, you know, just keeping up with him throughout middle school and then high school and then seeing him like have an interest in Oklahoma. He's thinking about committing to Oklahoma. We both end up committing on the same day. It was just a full circle moment for me and him, at least. Jalen, he's a really good guy. Again, comes from a really good family. If you ever watch this film, he's a really, like, he's a heavy hitter. He's not afraid to come down and smack you. But with the pads off, he's a really good guy. He cracks jokes all the time. He's just really one of the guys. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, all, like, our class is like, I feel like it's full of clones. Like everybody's like the same, like we have the same mental makeup. Like we all want the same things. We all like act the same. And like, I feel like, yeah, Jalen, he's going to do great things for Oklahoma as well.
Good. Yeah. That's, you know, the baseball team always says, you know, it's when you can get, you know, 25 guys pulling on the same rope, right?
Mm-hmm.
If everybody's pulling the same way, that's how you can find success. So I'm glad we got a bunch of clones in that class. But you did have a couple that made it out of the class. Talk to me a little bit about the day you found out, or the day it really hit social media, that you were losing two wide receivers, because that quarterback wide receiver relationship is so valuable, yeah. Right? You know, some quarterbacks would take it personally, like, oh, you don't want me throwing to you? What's up, man? Like, that is it me? Is it my fault? So what was your reaction when Oklahoma loses two wide receivers out of the class that had been committed for a while?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, at first, I thought exactly what you were thinking. Like, do they not want me to throw to them? But I had to, like, slap myself in the face and remember, like, it's a business at the end of the day. These kids are making a four-year decision, and if they feel like OU is not the right place for them, then so be it. You can get in the boat or get left. So I was really surprised when it hit social media. I was like, dang, like two of them in one day, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, my guy Graydon, he reassured all of us, like, he's not going anywhere. So that made it way so much better. And then I was like, I felt like I took on the job of just reassuring everybody else in the class, like, we're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. We're Oklahoma. We're going to find somebody else. Like, it's not like nobody wants to come play here. So, yeah.
Right. Follow that up with, are there any other wide receivers that that you're trying to recruit to join you at Oklahoma?
Yeah. So I talked about this in the pre-show, but I have a friend, like one of my dearest friends, that he plays down here at a school called Gulf Shores. His name's Carter Davis. He's committed to West Virginia right now. He had offers from like LSU, Mississippi State, a whole bunch of SEC schools, but he chose West Virginia. That's where he felt most comfortable at. But so we went to the Nike opening camp in New Orleans, and he jumped a 47.6 standing vertical and ran a 4.4. Like, he's a freak athlete, I'm telling you. Like, he, like, if you get the ball in his hands, he's a track athlete too. I think
47.6 standing.
Yeah, there's a video on Instagram if y'all want to go check it out. I forgot his Instagram name, but just look up Carter Davis. Like, you're gonna see it. Like, he was like,
Emmett Jones, if you're watching, figure it out.
It was it was like he double jump. You know how like the video game, like the Chico, you double jump? That's what it looked like. And the sad part was I had to go right after that. So like my performance looked terrible. So if I'm being honest. But you know, he's a freak athlete, great guy, great family. That's somebody I would love to play with in college.
Wow, that's insane. I can't even imagine seeing that, to be honest.
In person, oh my, it was crazy. Yeah.
Jameson, let's talk about your season goals. Obviously, you're heading into your senior season, bro, and it's something that everybody dreams of. Obviously, how their senior season is going to go. I know everybody, you know, dreams of winning a state championship, so we know that. But just what are some of the goals that you're setting as a leader of your team, as a quarterback heading into your senior year?
Well, for me, my junior year, it was all about business, you know, just trying to put my name on the map. I feel like I got my chance. Now it's time for me to go make a name for myself. And this year, it's just about upholding that standard. Well, I'm not even going to say that. Going higher and achieving greater things. I'm trying to win Mr. Football for the state of Alabama. I'm trying to win the state championship. I'm trying to keep our home record. Now, this is the crazy thing. We have not lost a home game at Sarah Land High School in like 7-8 years. Yeah, we have like the longest streak of home winning streak in the whole state of Alabama. It's like something crazy. I forgot it, but we haven't lost in a long time. Just trying to uphold that. Don't be the class to lose that. And personally, I'm just trying to enjoy the last ride with my guys. You know, when you listen and talk to a lot of people in college, they say high school football is the greatest thing a young man can just go through. And you will never get the feeling of that locker room back or playing with your guys back. So I'm just really trying to cherish these last moments I have with my guys. And, yeah, that's about it. You know, just achieving greater things and, you know, cherishing the moments with my guys. So.
Now, before we get into one of the last questions we have before we get into this and that and talk to some of the comments about it, everybody, there's 800 of you in here. Like, comment, subscribe. We're trying to get to 40,000 subscribers by fall camp. When we started back up, we were at like 23,000. I think we're at like 32,000 now. So 40,000 is reasonable. So I better not get on here later and see like 10 likes. I'm going to find you and smack every one of you. So let's make sure, run those likes up, you know, hit the notifications, all that kind of stuff that you see. Now back to the interview. So one thing, I won't lie, Oklahoma fans, you know, we're an anxious bunch, right? Yeah. Like every college football fan base, right? So I know that Oklahoma fans got a little bit anxious whenever they heard that Ohio State and Georgia were both trying to make pushes for you. So, yes. Obviously, Georgia missed out on Jared Curtis a year ago and didn't take a quarterback in that class. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, I don't think they had a quarterback in their 2027 class. And then Ohio State, they were dealing with a quarterback that was possibly a flip candidate at the time. And I know they had walk me through that. Did they visit you in Alabama? Was it trying to get you to come on visits? Walk me through the late pushes from Ohio State and Georgia and how you handled two absolute power programs coming to you and having to say no to them.
Yeah. So let me start by saying this. So Coach Kuz, Buck, Chave, and somebody else came to my practice. Who was it? I'm blanking.
Was it Brandon Hall?
No. I'm trying to think. Who was it? All right. Well, OU coaches came to my practice. Let me just say, use a broad statement because I don't want to leave nobody out. So OU coach came to my practice, and like a day later – well, actually, let me start by saying this. At the end of my practice, I was in my training room. You know, I always get recovery after practice, and I just try to keep healthy and all that stuff. I told them, I'm like, hey, Georgia's coming later this week. Ohio State is coming this time as well. Guys, do not be afraid. I'm just, you know, letting them get their visits in to say they came and visit me, and I'm not going anywhere. Trust me when I say this. They came, and that's what happened. And I told them after they came, I'm like, I'm so glad that I chose Oklahoma because no other school recruited me like they did and showed me the love that they did from the jump. I felt like all the other big schools, they were late on me. And then, like, when they were trying to recruit me, it wasn't, like, the way I wanted to be recruited. Like, they didn't have soul mission. Like, they didn't put me around their kids and see how I reacted. They didn't do all these other things. They didn't check up on me every single day. They were, like, every once in a while. Like, stuff like that means a lot to me. And, like, those relationships I had with the OU coaches meant way more than just, you know, two powerhouses coming, you know. So I told them, I'm like, I'm not going nowhere. And then that had a lot to do with me shutting my recruitment down this past week. I'm like, I'm locked in. Like, I'm not going anywhere. Oklahoma's the place I want to be. So
that has got to make Sooner fans just so giddy to hear that. And Travis, we've talked to plenty of recruits throughout the years under Brent Venables, and that seems to be a consistent theme, is that OU coaches showing love, the type of men that they are, the character that they show. And so I think that's just awesome to hear that from you, Jameson, and know that's going on behind the scenes. On top of, obviously, while Ohio State and Georgia are great programs in their own right, Oklahoma's right up there with them, yeah, right, historically and everything like that. And so when you put those two things together, I think it's just almost a no-brainer. And I feel like that's what you saw, man. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
Well, and that's what's cool about, like, as we talk about, you know, recruits and he talks about the class, he's like, yeah, I feel like we're all clones. We've got the same makeup. Like, that's mm-hmm. on purpose. Like, Oklahoma mm-hmm. recruits that on purpose. Like, they don't just pull up the 247 rankings and say, all right, whatever the top at every position, that's all we're going to do. Like, I mean, even using your own recruitment as an example, right? I mean, Oklahoma mm-hmm. offered you I think you were still a three-star at the time.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of thing. They identify people, and it's a lot like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Sam Presti talks about a draft a person and you know, before you draft a player, right? Because, yeah, you know, they talk about the culture that is set, the getting everybody to lock into a championship mindset, championship effort, and not worry about how many minutes they're getting or what role they're in or anything like that. But when you're given the opportunity, doing the most with it. So I think Oklahoma, I think, is really dialed in, Jameson, of the kind of person they want. And obviously, you know, you got to be able to play football. That matters, right? But,
yeah,
you know, if you threw lame ducks, you know, no matter how much you get along with everybody, I don't think it would work well. But the thing is, valuing the person is something that when Brent Venables got here, he was like, that's what we're going to do. We're going to build a foundation on graduating, on trust, on love, on family. And that's why they, you know, that's why they started the Soul Mission. And that's, it always comes up. And it's funny because there are a lot of fans, like, if things aren't going well, they're like, we got to throw out this Soul Mission thing. Nobody cares about that. Just do this, that, and the other. I'm like, no, I promise you.
Like, yeah, go get me some criminals from the Georgia roster. Like, we've had people say that, bro. It's...
I have something else to say. So, speaking about just people in Oklahoma, so on my OV, I think it was like one of the last nights we were there, we had a player panel of former players that came back. They were in NFL and just spoke to us as recruits. Mm. And actually, my guy Jackson Lawler, he ended up committing. That was a really emotional moment. You know, his whole family went to Oklahoma. His granddad, I'm pretty sure, if I can remember correctly, he brought him to games as a little kid, and he mm-hmm. passed. And then he committed, and, like, everybody started shedding a tear, getting hyped for him. You know, it felt like a big family. But with the player panel, a consistent theme that I heard, which that just struck me, struck a nerve in my soul, was the people in Oklahoma. Like, it was guys who played in the 2000s, the 2010s, and the 2020s talking about the people in Oklahoma. Like, you guys didn't play together. but you all have the same exact stories and everything's on the same like line. Like everything's like about the people in Oklahoma, the fans in Oklahoma. Like it just means more. And like we had guys talking about how they visited California. USC was trying to get them, and they were in. They were sitting front row at the Lakers game. Like they were like they didn't want any of that. Like Oklahoma was like it just felt different. And like even a guy on our visit said, like one of the recruits was like, even when you walk in the facility, like the air smells different. And I promise, God can strike me down right now. It really do smell different. Like it, like you walk in other facilities, and you walk in Oklahoma City, you like, yeah, you can recognize that scent. Like I still can smell it right now. Like it just feels different in the state of Oklahoma, in the University of Oklahoma. So yeah.
Man, he gonna become a favorite real quick, Trav.
Well, I mean, also, who wants to sit courtside at like the three seed? You know what I mean? Who wants to sit? Well, man, we got the one seed here. Come on now, we NBA champ.
Yeah.
So let's be honest. But all they did extend our boy Austin Reeves, former Sooner. So we gotta appreciate him for their 185 mils. Hopefully he gets involved with the NIL at Oklahoma with that 185 million. We'll be in good shape basketball program then. And then I think Trey just signed like a $210 million extension. So
I forgot he went there. Dang, that's crazy.
Yep. We've had some stars now.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some
absolutely
stars.
Absolutely. So we're going to get into this or that, but I want to make sure because Q&As we're going to do at the end. But I want people to go ahead and populate those questions because we'll do Q&A at the end. But go ahead and get questions in, and we'll make sure and get to them, make sure and star them. But JP, you want to handle this or that?
Yeah, it's time to bring this or that to the platform. It's been a few months since we've actually done this or that. It used to be a staple years ago, Jameson. When we were, you know, JP and Trav coming through the mud, you know, on YouTube, you know, we were doing this thing. We had guests on, you know, recruits, different people, you know, with the program come on. But this is our first time doing it as part of OU Insider. So it's a special one. And you're the first one to do it, man. So feel special.
I'm honored.
Feel special. All right. So as you know, Jameson, we talked about it. This or that means literally this or that. You cannot choose in between. There's no, oh, maybe this. You have to stake a claim. One or the other when we give you these prompts. And those in the comment section that have not played this or that with JP and Trav, same to you. You cannot, like, try to be Switzerland, sit on the fence. You gotta stake a side. For example, you know, one of the classic ones we do is super salad. And Travis loves his salad. I love my soup. And we've had like fist to cuffs arguments about salad and soup. It sounds crazy, but that's what we get into, man. So first one on the docket, you're a quarterback. As you said, you're coming to QBU, man. So we got to do this one to start off. Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray?
Baker Mayfield. And I'm going to say this for saying, I feel like Baker is like the epitome of what OU is, like savvy, get it out the mud, hard working. Like they're gonna pop it at times, but you know, like he's here for a reason. And then like, you know, you see him in the NFL, like he's still like doing his thing. Like it's just great to see. Even Kyler's doing his thing too, but you know, it's this or that. I gotta pick my guy Baker. So Baker, like I remember watching him like when I was a little kid watching OU games, like just like his moxie and like his confidence. Like I've always wanted to embody that, and I'm still trying to embody that. Like that's what put it over the edge for me. So
Trav.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, with Baker, he arrives on campus right after Trevor Knight just takes down the mighty, you know, Nick Saban led Crimson Tide in the Sugar Bowl, playing the greatest game of his life. And OU's, you know, feeling good all off season, just won a Sugar Bowl, beat Derrick Henry in the Tide, and then we have this walk on show up, and the video of him dancing with the group, where I was like,
yeah, I use that meme all the time. Right there.
I'm like, bro, that's the quarterback right there. Sorry, Trevor Knight, like you just ran into the aura machine, and he's gonna come and snatch your job. So yeah, it was pretty wild. Obviously, the stories of Baker playing in the intramural league because he wasn't allowed to play back when you had to sit a year for transferring within conference. So he was tearing up intramurals, and I can't imagine. I played intramurals at OU as well. I can't imagine having to go up against Baker Mayfield than the number one pick and the Heisman winner in an intramural game, man. That'd be crazy. But, yeah, with a lot of people probably think, you know, I'm a Vikings fan, Jameson, so I was born in Minnesota.
Okay.
That's why my handle is Travis Skull. And Kyler playing for my Vikings now, me and Kirby's Vikings. But it'll always be Baker, man. I think Baker's on the short list of, you know, Oklahoma players. I think it's him and Brian Bosworth of the two guys that are just transcend the swagger, the heart of Oklahoma. You know, when they speak, Oklahomans listen. And have you had an opportunity to meet Baker yet?
No, I want to. Bad.
I'm sure you will.
All right. We'll try. We need to get that. We need to get that set up.
All right.
Yeah, man. Baker's the choice for me too. And it's easy from the standpoint of saying, hey, Baker was with OU for in totality 4 years, but played three, right, and had the seasons that he had. But it's gone into the league, obviously, and, you know, he's always still had that chip on his shoulder. And you can ask Trav, I am, like, as pro a Baker Mayfield person you will ever meet. Like, when he was going through what he was going through in Cleveland, I was in the trenches with them Cleveland fans, telling them how crazy they were for throwing them away like trash. But we just love, like you said, everything, the moxie. Like, he feels like he's one with Oklahoma. And not that Kyler didn't have any of that, right? Yeah. But it was just, you know, he had 1 year, and we love Kyler for what he did. Heisman winner. He's got a statue, as he should. You know, he comes back to Oklahoma, part of the baseball program. Like, you know, he has a great, you know, following in his own right at Oklahoma. But Baker just transcends so much of that. And, it's just awesome. It's just awesome. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's funny because JP, we had to get him to dial back. He'll be on. Like, I used to have his tweet notifications on. I don't anymore because I'm like, man, my phone will blow up, and I'm like, JP, why are we fighting with Browns fans? What are we doing? It's been long enough. He's free from Cleveland. It's gonna be fine. So, anyways, JP, I'll let you get into the next one.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, man. It's a common theme of you know, our generation, your generation for sure, social media. And so which one do you prefer if you had to choose one?
All right.
TikTok or Instagram?
This is hard. I'm going to say Instagram, and I'm going to say this. So, yeah, all right. I'm sticking with it. So Instagram, they have this thing called Reels. This is basically what TikTok is. So, I mean, you could just watch Reels. But Instagram, they just gave me a blue check too. So, you know, I got to show them some love. Mm. I just got the blue check the other week. And then, like, Instagram, like, I feel like more people are updated on Instagram than they are on TikTok. Like, you only use TikTok, like, let's be real. Like, you go search something up on TikTok, like how to do something, find a quick result. Or you just sitting there doom scrolling, which, I mean, that's not going to do nothing for you. I don't feel like you'll end up doom scrolling on Instagram unless you just ultimately bored and you just got nothing else to do. But I feel like Instagram's the move for sure, in my opinion.
Draft.
Got a blue check now. That's why I got a blue check. Excuse me.
Hey. Yeah.
My thing is I occasionally doom scroll Instagram reels. I occasionally do. I also believe I've got a blue check on Instagram as well. I mean, But I think with that, like, I've never had TikTok. Like, I've not posted to it. Like, I had to download it because so many people, when they send you one, you have to download it to watch it, obviously. Yeah. And you got, like, you know, my fiance sending me TikToks when I'm like, oh, here we go. I got to download it and all this, that, and the other. So, but I'm not – she's actually since deleted TikTok, which, thank goodness, she just sends me Instagram Reels now or, you know, whatever, which is far more bearable. But yeah, no TikTok for me. Just Instagram and Twitter. I'm on Twitter way too. I'm chronically online. I gotta put Twitter down every once in a while. But especially after winning a national championship, I'm on people's necks. You know, like, all right, let's go. Like, you want to talk? Come on. Oh, it's Director's Cup. Oh, cool. No, we got a national championship over here. But JP, what do you think?
Yeah. I've had a love-hate relationship with TikTok. I see some of the benefits of it. I also see, you know, like you said, Jameson, the doom scrolling, the algorithm, I feel like, is much worse on TikTok than it is on Instagram. Just feed you what you want, you know, and, you know, we can get into, you know, political and all this other stuff. Like, just feed you, you know, what you want to see instead of, like, maybe what's out there. But Instagram's been around for longer. I feel like it's survived so many different changes and still is, like, one of the most beloved platforms. You know, it's adapted, things like that. People still say, hey, here's your Insta, you know. And it's one of the easier ways to keep up with people. And it's not as, like, Facebook used to be like that, but now Facebook has just felt like it's overcome by older people who just yell all the time. So Instagram feels like it's more of a, you know, in the middle of all generations, and everybody, you know, can use it accurately. So, yeah. All right. Next one. We got two more left, brother, and they're right. Food ones. We are big food people over here on the JP so Trap Show. I don't know if you knew this about Trap, but he used to be in the restaurant business, man. He could cook for real.
What do you like specialize in?
So I owned a sports bar for 9 years. I had a fine dining restaurant, a brick oven pizza restaurant. Actually, that's how I got started with OU. They've heard the story obviously here a million times, but I used to cater Wagyu tomahawk ribeyes, smoked Wagyu tomahawk ribeyes to OU recruiting events. So I go to Lincoln Riley and DeMarco Murray's houses and bring the smokers and smoke Wagyu tomahawks for all the recruits. So, that's actually how I got my start in OU media after that. And then I've been on radio ever since. So sold all my restaurants in 2022, but I've got some hard food opinions. I'm a big foodie for sure. So, I'll always have a little bit of the restaurant industry in me, but food and catering and restaurants is how I got my start with what we're doing today. So
that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Jameson, we won't go into it. Cause like he said, a lot of people have heard it so many times on this show, but you have to look it up yourself. You know, it's a funny story that Trav smokers, they would smoke the tomahawks on, actually got kind of stuck at Lincoln Riley's house when he up and left Oklahoma. And so also, go look that up, man. Go look that up.
I'll send you the link so you can read about it.
Okay, bet.
All right, here we go. Down to business. Steak or seafood?
Seafood. That's not even a question.
It's quick.
Living by the beach. Mobile, Alabama.
Yeah.
New Orleans, 2 hours. What? West.
Yeah.
You got Florida, 2 hours east.
Yeah.
You got, I can't even say our hidden gem in Alabama, which y'all might know about it. Orange Beach, Gulf Shores, 1 hour south. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been eating seafood bowl since I was like 4. Like, I can crack open a crab leg like it's nothing. I can eat some crawfish like nobody's business. Like, that's my stuff right there. Like, if I had to pick any food, like my last meal on earth, it's going to be a seafood bowl or like some type of seafood. Alfredo or something like that. Like,
okay.
Seafood that and steak can't compare.
Wow. That's big time. So seafood bowls, they've been getting popular in restaurants now. Like, people are doing them and bringing them out. Like,
yeah,
that's at least just it here. They've been doing that in Mobile for a while or what?
Yes, but no, listen, like, that's not even the best thing. Y'all ever had a crawfish bowl party?
Oh yeah, bro. I mean,
oh no.
We do that around here.
Ooh, we like summertime, 4th of July next week, right?
Yeah, on my calendar it is.
Yeah, so we probably gonna have some type of crawfish bowl or some type of seafood. I mean, we might throw some burgers on the grill for people who want that, but yeah. You know, I want some seafood. You know, a hot summer day, you get with your friends, have a crawfish bowl, get you a couple Cokes, Dr. Peppers, crisp cold Dr. Peppers and Cokes, and you get the business. You can eat about, I don't even know how much, but a lot of pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to send you some of the, when I send you that article, I'll send you some evidence of me taking down some piles of crawfish, just to get some credibility with you. And hey, do you ever get involved in the boil? Can you throw a crawfish boil when you get to Norman, or are you just always just eating?
No, I'm just eating. I can't cook to save my life. I'm not gonna lie. I leave that to the grown folks. You know, they've been on the earth long enough. Like they know what they're doing. So I'm gonna leave that to them.
All right. Well, we'll find a coach. For some reason, I think Todd Bates knows how to, you know, throw together a crawfish boil. He just strikes me as a guy who knows how.
Right. Yeah, actually, when I was leaving for my OV, all the coaches were having a crawfish boil at Coach Buck's house, for the last day of summer or something like that before, they had to come back for fall camp. And, when I tell you I wasn't mad, obviously. I mean, I couldn't go. I'm going home, and I'm also a player. There was only coaches, but I'm like, dang, you shouldn't have said that around me.
I know. That's how they get you to come back, man. That's how they knew. They knew the way to your heart.
That's right. Uh-huh. Trav, what's your answer, bro? What you thinking?
Man, as much as I love a seafood boil, as much as I love some black miso cod and some Chilean sea bass and all this, as much as I love it all, I love, you know, some St. Elmo shrimp cocktail. I love all the seafood, but give me an American Wagyu tomahawk, just steak, ribeye, give me one of those, and I'm a happy man. So I will go with the steak, especially it's got to be cooked properly. It's got to be a good cut of meat. It's like we need to, as a society, stop buying bad steaks. Like, we need to put whatever that is out of business. Like, there's enough quality meat to go around. Need to figure it out. You can get chuck eyes, you know, that are half the price of ribeyes, but same theoretical cut. You can get, strips are $4 less a pound than ribeyes, and you still got good marbling, good fat in there. Like, steak is always going to be my go-to. But, JP, what say you?
Yeah, man. And maybe it's because we are not by bodies of water. I don't know. Maybe if we grew up like you did, right, in that culture, and it feel different. And I love my seafood, like he said. But, man, a good steak is just, for me, unbeatable. And as Trav was saying, so I live in Indianapolis, Jameson. I don't know if you knew that or not. That's why on Twitter, if you saw my name, is Indy Sooner. Grew up here, born and raised, but my whole family's from Oklahoma. My sister ran track there, so, you know, I got Oklahoma blood in me. But that being said, there's a famous steakhouse here called St. Elmo's, world renowned, known for their shrimp cocktail, but also their steaks are very good as well. Peyton Manning, you know that name. He has his own private room in St. Elmo's. Like, he would, before, after games, he would come, just walk in. They had a private elevator only for him, and he would go down to his specific room. They'd have a steak ready, everything. So Trav has been up here to visit me, but also mainly to go to the, you know, NFL Combine. And we've headed over to the famous St. Elmo's. And growing up in Indianapolis, you have to go there. It's like one of the staples of living in the city. And when you have steak, like they cook it, it's just ingrained in you, man. Like, when you have good steak, it's hard to really pass it up. So all that being said, I'm choosing steak over seafood.
I think you hit it. It's Midwest versus Southern and Gulf Coast and things like that. So, when you're in Oklahoma, I could look out my window and there's not a cow out there. So, we got steaks everywhere around here. So, but now I'm telling you, I need to have a little seafood boil soon. Right in the middle of the summer.
Jameson made me think about it, bro. He made me think about it.
Yeah.
Potato.
How do y'all like y'all's steak cooked, though? That's a big question.
That's a good question, James.
So with me, it matters what steak, right? So the more fat, the more marbling, the more I want it cooked to render that fat, right? So if it's a filet, I'll eat it rare because it's almost like beef carpaccio. Like there's no fat in it. It's so lean that you can really get the flavor and whatnot. But a ribeye, a really fatty ribeye, I'll eat it medium, right? Medium rare, sometimes medium rare, if there's so much fat in it, it doesn't render the fat all the way through. So, you know, I'm kind of in that range. The fattiest cuts, I'll want medium. The more leaner cuts, man, I'll get all the way down to rare sometimes. But some people that are hey, they feel it's more manly or something to be oh, I want my ribeye rare. I'm like, that's you're chewing some rough fat there, brother. Like that's not enjoyable to a degree. So I'd go medium if it's fatty, but if it's lean, I'm going rare. So JP, what are you cooking your steaks at?
Yeah, I'm a big medium rare guy. In most instances, you know, I'm not from the restaurant industry. So honestly, meeting Trav, you know, 6 years ago when we first met was huge for me in my, you know, understanding how steaks are cooked, understanding, you know, the flavor, all those different things. Like I used to just eat steak. Like I had good steak. My dad could make some steak. I would eat off his T-bone at IHOP, T-bone steak and eggs. You know what I mean? And I was like, hey, this tastes good. But, you know, figuring out like, you know, hey, this is where kind of that happy medium is. You know, pun not necessarily intended, was cool. So medium rare is probably where I would be on most cuts.
Okay.
Yeah. What I mean, I know you're
seeing you well when
you get steak. What are you cooking it?
So, you know, I'm a younger guy. So, like, y'all got to bear with me. So, like, when I go to a restaurant and I see some steak and it's, like, rare, I'm like, that's, like, I'm not going to say it's, like, nasty to me because, I understand people eat that. And like it could be enjoyable to them, but to me, I just can't bring myself to do it. But I used to be a well done guy, not anymore. It was too chewy.
Yeah,
I'm starting to go down. I'm at medium well right now.
Okay. Just get the medium. Once you get to medium, it's like all right, hot pink center. You're good to go. Everything's cooked through. Like you're good. We'll get to there. We're just
okay. Trav, can we just have you? Can Trav cook you a steak when you're in Oklahoma?
Yeah, if he gets,
I'm down. I'll be back
through to Tulsa. I'll do the sous vide going on. I'll do sous vide and then finish that on the grill, or I'll do a reverse sear. Get it perfect. The reverse sear is really what I've been getting after lately. I mean, it's just. I mean, I'll be sitting there, and fiance will be eating across me, and I'm like. I'll put my fork and knife down and just I look like the tendernism guy. Like I'm getting up, just look at I mean, you kidding me? So that's
man.
I mean, I'll put the utensils down when the moment hits me. So yeah, well, we're proud of you from going to well done to medium well. You're indeed, on the right you. Track. You're on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey. Let's get to this last one, and then we'll have about 10 more minutes for some Q&A before we let Jameson get out of here and get some sleep. Jameson, I'm not gonna lie to you, bro. This next one is very important to us.
Okay.
Some would say it's indicative of somebody's character. I'm not saying this. I'm not saying I'm going that far, but you know, you could tell a lot about a person by how they answer this. So no pressure.
Okay. All right.
Flats or drums? And this is with wings, right?
All right.
What are you going with, my guy?
I'm a flats guy. All flats.
Yes. I knew it.
So with me, so we got this wing spot. So Sarah Land, we got this wing spot. Everybody goes to it. It's called Wingsville. Yeah, I haven't been there in a little minute. But they make the best of wings.
Wingsville, you said?
Yeah, it's in Chickasaw, Alabama. So like, let's say you coming to visit me in like North Mobile, wings like Chickasaw's on the way down. Then you just basically going through Chickasaw to get to Mobile. So y'all can stop there for lunch if y'all want to see Jalen or something like that. But however, so Wingsville it's gas, and like they give me all like I ask for all flats every single time, and like just the way like flats are just easier to eat. You know, you can twist the bone, get all the meat out, stick it in the ranch. You know, like it's way easier.
And I feel like he gets it.
And I feel like the drums recently in like the wing industry, I hate to say it, but they've gotten nasty. Because like when I eat the drums, like y'all ever had a piece of like wings that are like just like they look like they like got some like something pumped into it. Like just like voluptuous wings that are just like they shouldn't be that big because like we know no chicken not that big. So yeah, I'm a flats guy though. Now how I like my flats, I'm a lemon pepper garlic parm type of guy. I love garlic parm. That's like one of my probably my favorite flavor.
Do you do on lemon pepper, do you got lemon pepper wet or the dry rub?
The wet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The kid knows ball, JP.
he knows ball. That's QB1 right there, man.
We're not about to have no drum-eating QB. I promise you that. I promise you that. About to call Nagy, say, hey, man, sorry. I got some bad news. So, yeah, man, I got it right here, Wingsville. I'm gonna check them out. So let's see, we don't go to Alabama or Auburn this year, but I guarantee you we will next year. So I'll make sure when I'm down in the area that I make it happen for sure.
Okay.
So
Wingsville. Okay.
That's good. So we got some of the questions that that popped up in the chat. We're going to run through these real quick, kind of do them rapid fire. We don't want to take too much of your time. So first from Topher, what's your favorite pitch to a fellow recruit you want to come play in the 2027 class? What's your pitch like?
So my OV, I just started using this because my OV was like a couple weeks ago. But so they said something that really stuck with me, like really resonated with me. They said that we don't recruit, we identify DNA. And I'm like, that's tough right there.
I
took it. Bars. I sent it to all the guys that's like on the edge about committing to Oklahoma, and they just don't know. I'm like, to be honest, like you were at the OV, you're getting recruited by Oklahoma for a reason. So like you're meant to be one of us. We don't just go out and just get nobodies or anybodies. Like, you are one of us. So, I just come home. Like, you're meant to be. Like, don't overthink it. We have everything you need to succeed here. And if you don't succeed, it's ultimately your fault. So, I mean, like, come here to Oklahoma. Come join one of the best classes in the nation. So, yeah.
I like it. Yeah, that's that would get me. Hopefully, Mr. Keone Snipes feels like that's something that'll resonate with him. I'm holding you to that. You got to get.
Okay, I got you. All right, I got you.
So Jimmy, a friend of the program, asks if you're a pocket QB or dual threat QB. Obviously, you brought up your rushing statistics earlier, but what do you consider? You know, kind of at the next level. What do you think?
Well, I know this isn't a thing, but I like to call myself a pocket quarterback who knows how to run and knows how to obey pressure and just takes what the defense gives them. You know, if the defense is going to sit back 20 yards, the safety's 20 yards, and just drop back in soft cover four, I mean, I'm just going to pick them apart underneath or just take the lanes that they give me. But let's say they're a man, two man, there's nobody spying me. Like, I'm going to know that. Like, I'm a student of the game. So I'm going to do what I have to do to make a play. I didn't start running that much until this past year, actually. I used to just be purely pocket. Like, I could barely run. But over the offseason, my dad, he was drilling it to me. Like you're going to have to run a little bit this year. And that's just the bottom line, you know. So I got to speed training. I'm like, I didn't even know I could get this fast. I run like a 4.5 40 right now. Nice. I ran at the Under Armour camp. So, like, and it takes me a little minute to build up, but once I get built up, I don't think nobody can catch me. Like, it's like that. And then I have a baseball background playing outfield, so I have a strong arm. I can make any throw on the field, and I feel like I can run for days, so it's a perfect blend.
Yeah, when we talk about it, it's like you need to be mobile enough to extend the play, but not always looking to run. You know what I mean? It's like, because when you grow up, and you're just always looking to run, then you get in the SEC, it's like, uh-oh, like, these are NFL players on the other side.
Yeah, and you got grown those holes, men.
They close a lot quicker than I remember back, back in Mobile. So, yeah, it's one of those, like, when you watch, like, a Trinidad Chambliss or something like that, or even a John Mateer, who can extend plays and still keep his eyes downfield. So, that's as long as the eyes are downfield, then we're all in good shape. So, another hotly contested one from old Very Kirby hot. Out here. Jordan or Bron?
I'm going to make the old heads mad with this, but Bron. And I say Bron because, like, who do y'all know creating their own player and sharing the court with them? Like, if that's not GOAT level stuff, then I don't know what is. This man created his own player, stayed in the league in his prime, and played with him on the exact same court. I don't care how many titles Jordan has. I don't care what Jordan has done. That's GOAT level stuff right there.
I'd say Jordan could have done it if he ran his team like LeBron.
But his GM
is picking up Bronny when he has no business being in the second round.
GM is crazy.
But hey, Bronny, he's been getting better though. He's been hooping like
I would hope so.
Jordan kids could never. Jordan skills didn't translate.
That's because Michael Jordan wasn't the father that LeBron is. He was so concerned about what was going on the court.
LeBron's the better father. I'm taking Michael as the basketball player though.
Okay, ain't no wrong with that.
There we go. Let's see. Okay, which D lineman in our 2027 class, you know, edge or interior, whatever, would you be most scared to get hit by?
Well, let me start off saying this. I'm not scared to get hit by anybody. If I had to pick somebody, the guy out of Mississippi. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. I forgot his name. I'm blanking. There's so many guys committed. We have like 25 commits. I think his name's Devin. Is it?
Devin Robinson?
Yeah, Devin Robinson. I've seen him on one visit, and that's a big fella right there. Like, he's like prototypical, like when you look on, like when you go on the game day business and you see the SEC, like D lineman warming up, he already looks like one. And I'm like, dang, that'll hurt.
I was looking for his measurements. He's 6'1", 335 pounds.
Imagine that's like laying on top of you, though, and like getting hit. Like,
yes, that's wow.
That's scary.
Yeah, sometimes when my 50-pound dog lays on me the wrong way, I'm like,
I don't know. Facts.
335, count me out, my friend. I am opting out of that. But last but not least out of the Q&A section, what do you watch more, pro or college football?
For me, I have to say I model my game after pro guys, but I like to watch college football more. And I say that to say this because I feel like college football, it's more like exciting, like more of the times. Mm-hmm. And like pro football is like, not to say it's not good or anything, but like it can get like kind of like repetitive at times. College football on any given Saturday, especially in SEC, you never know what can happen. It can be an upset or anything. And like, I feel like, especially with like the NIL thing going on now, like no team is like out of reach of just like not being good. Like we saw with Indiana came out of nowhere. And I mean, it came with great coaching and like just like having the right mindset and obviously like the right players. But still though, like that just goes to show like the NFL, I don't feel like something like that would happen. Like, but college football, I just like it more. And I've always grew up like Fridays after my games, you know, you wake up, you go to Whataburger, get you a honey butter chicken biscuit meal. With a Dr. Pepper, you go back to your living room and you watch College Game Day. You watch what's gonna happen for the day, and you watch all the games. And you just sit in your room. You might go over to a friend's house and watch the big games, like the game they've been talking about all day. But yeah, for me, it's always gonna be college football.
Hey, you Oklahoma fans, you just heard Jameson's Whataburger order right there. Okay,
that's right.
Honey butter chicken biscuit and a Dr. Pepper.
No, that's the breakfast one.
Write it down.
But the lunch one's always gonna be the patty melt or the sweet and spicy burger. I'll take those down.
Okay. Well, I gotta write those down too. I'm taking notes over here, you know, little food notes. That's hilarious. who are some of the pros that you model your game after?
I have to say Caleb out of Chicago. Caleb Williams. Jordan Love is another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I model my game. Caleb Williams, he's just like, you know, like I said, like with Baker, he has that moxie about him. He's just like confident. He can make any throw on the field. And I'm watching him in the playoffs. He's doing things I've never seen before, like making crazy throws. Like he had one throw versus the Rams I was watching. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dog, like how did you even complete that? And then Jordan Love, I like him, like his aura. He's like smooth, like he's like calm. And like I feel like he makes every throw on the field too, but like he does it like in a smooth manner. And then like my GOAT quarterback is I'll say two. It'd have to be either Patrick Mahomes. or Aaron Rodgers. I'm a big A-Rod guy. I don't know what it is about him. I just always – well, I also have to say this guy, Matthew Stafford. Oh, I love Matthew Stafford, man. He might be, like, my favorite right now. I'm not going to lie. Just because, like, he's old, but, like, it looks like he's, like, in his rookie year. He's, like, dotting teams up. He's smooth, too. He knows what's going on before it even happens. Like, he's that guy. But A-Rod will always be my GOAT. So, yeah.
Mm. Yep. Man, I'm telling you, he must be a Packers fan. Aaron Rodgers, yeah. Jordan Love.
Yeah.
It's something about those Packers QBs.
We're about to have some connection issues with Jameson. I don't know.
Yeah, you know he a hardcore Vikings fan, so yeah. He'd be all right, Chad.
That's right. Hey,
I want to address this really quick. I've never in my life said I like boneless wings. I don't. I'm a flats guy only. Okay, that's propaganda. Kirby's making stuff up. Like he always does. I just had to throw. I can't be known as a boneless guy. That's not me. That's not me. Okay. I'm just throwing it out.
I don't know. We'll have to hit the archives. You know, see what we can find.
Yeah.
See what we can find. I don't know. Oh. Is this like the Mandela effect? Are we all remembering it differently? Because I could have sworn you said you were a boneless guy.
That never came out of my mouth. But you know, it's not about me though. I just need to say that, Jameson. Man, thank you so much for coming on, bro. It was so fun. It was great to get to know you. We can tell that you're just a great dude, man. You're going to lead this class in this program so well. Everybody in the comments was loving on you. And I think you're going to be a fan favorite, man. Fan favorite, yes, for sure.
Trav?
Yeah, appreciate it, man. I know we've been working back and forth on trying to get you in, and for those of you, I'm sure many of you happy to know that the young man said we couldn't do Wednesdays because he's got church on Wednesdays, but he's down here every day. So,
amen. Amen.
Yep. So, appreciate you for coming on. It's always good to hear from the recruits and hear about, you know, the family atmosphere at Oklahoma, because a lot of the times, like, we hear the coaches talk about it, but, you know, that's what the coaches are supposed to say publicly, right? Mm-hmm. But hearing the recruits talk about kind of the behind-the-scenes situation, having you on, having Graydon on. I believe Jalen's coming on next week. Jalen Scott.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. I know you'll be in the comments hanging out per usual. So any last words before we sign off? There is about 1,400 people in here. Like the channel, subscribe, all that. We need to get to 40,000. I'm convinced we can make it to 40,000 by fall camp. But Jameson, first off, where can everybody find you on social media, and add anything else you want that we didn't touch on?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at _.jamo, all lowercase, JAMO._. Again, and it's the same through all platforms. And then Twitter, it's Jameson, capital J, JAMISON, capital E, Roberts, ROBERTS. And, like, last thing I have to say for Oklahoma fans is, like, you know, this 27 class is going to be special, and I truly believe that. I'm doing my best, you know, to keep us all together. I'm riling us up. We're all, after our OVs, we're like so ready to get to Oklahoma. We're so ready to show Norman what we're about, show the country what Oklahoma's building. And we will bring a national championship to Oklahoma. You can promise. So, yes, sir.
I love that so much. Yeah. Well, guys, we appreciate you guys coming on. Like Trav says, stay tuned next week. Plan on having Jalen on the show. We'll be back here at this same time, 8 p.m. Central Time. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Until next time, Boomer.
Sooner.